Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Nate Lamb. I'm from Chicago. A little bit more about myself. Next month, I will be with my family, my wonderful wife, and my four kids. We will have been here for 10 years in Guangzhou. So maybe some of you don't know that. Maybe you've not been here that long. But this is an amazing fellowship. And I just wanted to share that just before I came up this morning, Bathsheba said to me, the Lord had laid on her heart to pray for me this week. And what a great blessing. That was just a word of comfort to me to know that there are people praying. And for me today, she was praying for me all week. Now, that's just part of the story. I just want to share another part is that I worked in another province for 10 years before coming to Guangzhou. And through that training center that we had students that we were able to share with. And when I got here to Guangzhou, we found out that some of the students that we had worked with are under the care of Liro and Bathsheba over in Zhengcheng. So the work of God is amazing. We don't make plans. God orchestrates all that. And we're just his instruments. And as long as we're willing to do his work, he does great things. And so just even in this fellowship, finding all the things that God, the great things that God does is amazing. And even today, as I'm going to talk on peace, this fellowship really embodies, exemplifies peace, because we're from so many different nations, and we're here today at peace with each other because of Christ. And as we think of Christmas, this is celebrating peace, the peace that he brings to us. So this is my message today. Let me pray before I get started. Bow your heads with me. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be together, the body of Christ, in peace. And as we dwell on the thought of what peace means, Christmas peace, Lord, speak to our hearts. Open our hearts to hear from you, to hear from your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you will use my words to speak. We submit our thoughts and our hearts. Maybe we are distracted this week from finals or ideas of shopping or even just the busyness of Christmas. Lord, help us to settle our hearts now so we can hear your voice and we can understand better what your peace means to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, before I were preparing this week, I was trying to think of what would be a good message for Christmas. This Christmas story can't be told again because we all know it. But the Lord impressed on my heart something unique, and it was about peace. And even though we've heard about peace all our lives in regards to the Christmas story, I gathered something really different, something new through studying God's Word. And I hope that you also get some kind of new idea or a new sense of what peace means. All right, so my topic today is peace on earth, and we'll begin. So in 1993, there was this campaign called Got Milk, and it was launched in the USA to get people to drink milk. They got movie stars, athletes, heartthrobs, even Superman needed to get a milk mustache. And it worked. The world needed milk. This Christmas, I believe we need something else. We think we need something more than milk. We need peace. Got peace? If you look on the internet, if you Google search the word peace, you'll find hundreds of peace organizations or groups that are out there to bring peace to this world. So I did a search, and here were the top 20 peace groups or groups that are out there to bring peace to this world. And right, if you keep searching, you can find much more. So there are groups out there that want to promote peace. But the question is, do we have peace? And so I looked at the word violence on the internet. And guess how many words how many sites that came up about violence? Associated with violence. Well, you have terrorist violence in the world. You have military violence. You have gang violence, gun violence, sexual violence, workplace violence, school violence, and we get home and there's domestic violence. Is there peace in this world? Why is there so much violence in this world? As I thought about that, the peace of Christmas became even more clear. Do we need peace? Can we find peace? And so I submit to you today that yes, we can. Even in this world where there's a lot of turmoil, God provides us peace. Now let's look at, for the purpose of my sharing, let's take a detour here. And anybody recognize this city? Jerusalem, all right, very good. I probably won't say this right, but in Hebrew it's pronounced Yerushalayim. I hope that's right. And the name Jerusalem can be divided into two root words, Yara and Shalem. And I think most of you know what Shalem comes from. It comes from the word Shalom. So Yara has many meanings, but I'd like to highlight a few meanings that might be significant to the message today. The specific meanings for Yara is to cast, direct, inform, instruct, show, teach. And then Shalem can also mean complete, to make ready, peaceable, made whole. The root word of Shalem has the idea to make complete, to make amends, to make peace, to restore. So if you're thinking about this, you consider the two words and you put it together, Yara Shalem. Do you see a picture of the intent of the Bible? Or do you see the instructions of God teaching mankind? Does it sound like God's salvation story, revealing the very nature of God's kingdom? You put it together and you see the motives, or perhaps the intentions of Jerusalem. It was a place to be where God would interact with his people. Abraham, near this location, almost sacrificed his son. And then years later, thousands of years later, just north of this location, there was the ultimate sacrifice. God bringing peace to man. God restoring his relationship with man. God putting peace between him and man. So if we could look at the meaning of Jerusalem as we think of peace, perhaps Jerusalem refers to God instructing or teaching us how to be complete, how to make peace, how to be whole, how to be restored. So let's turn to, as we begin our Christmas series this month, I had the privilege of being the first one. I was listening to some music and I came across Handel's Messiah, and if you read about it, it's quite an incredible piece of music, piece of work. It took him 24 days to write hundreds of pages of music. But there are two passages that he used in this piece of music, and I draw your attention to Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And here is a prophecy of the coming Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Of God's many purposes for Christ to come, one was to bring peace. His coming would result in peace between God and man, peace within man himself, and then peace between man and man. So those are my three points today. The peace that God brings us three results: peace between man and God, peace within man, and peace between man and man. He is the creator of peace, the commander of peace, preserver of peace. He is our peace. His peace is what keeps our hearts.
He is the author and giver of all peace for the present and the future. And right here in this room, we are enjoying God's peace. People from so many nations together gathered for one purpose, to peaceably meet together. Another verse that also Handel had emphasized was in Luke 2:14. And in this, the verse, it says, and if you listen to the music, there is this one part, I love it about it. Handel's trying to describe the angels appearing to the shepherds. And if you do have a chance, you have the Handel's Messiah, I encourage you to go home and listen to it. It's amazing. He tries to use music to describe that moment when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the wilderness. And the message from the angels is very simple, very simple. And this is the Christmas message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That was the message. The effect of Jesus coming to humankind was peace. The main message of Christmas was goodwill to men. Peace on earth. So despite all the bad news, the headlines we hear on the news and the newspapers, and nations hating each other, turmoil everywhere, terrorist attacks, murder, hatred, domestic violence, peace can be found on earth. Despite all that we hear that is bad, the message is still very clear. There is peace on earth. It is God's goodwill that we may find peace in the midst of all this turmoil. Is peace possible? And the answer is yes. It is very clear. Peace is available to all. He wants to bring us peace, and he wants to bring us peace with three effects. That we can make peace with him, we can have peace within ourselves, and that we can have peace with others. Let's look through Colossians 1:19 through 20. For the first point, this is the first way I believe God's peace can make us complete. Let's read what it says. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. God's ultimate purpose for coming to earth was to reconcile all things to himself. The cross made that reconciliation possible. Through faith in Christ, the provision to make peace with God and be reconciled to him was made available. This is the message of Christmas, that God wants peace with us. Furthermore, this verse tells us that this extension was man-ward in its direction. It was God reconciling himself to man, God offering peace to us. God offers peace to you so that we can have peace with him. If you are struggling today to know what that means, ask God to give you peace. So this is the first way that God's peace can complete us and allow us to have peace with him, is to find that he has extended his love to us. He extended his salvation to us. All we have to do by faith is to receive it, and we can have peace with him. Here are three points we can remember. His peace allows us to have peace with him. Colossians 1:20 reminds us that he came for the purpose of reconciling all to himself. So for those who are taking notes, through his work on the cross, we can have peace with God. Not only that, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is extending his peace to us. If you don't know God today, respond. He is reaching out to you. He is initiating a peace process with you. And then by faith in Christ, we can not only enjoy peace with God in this life, but we can also enjoy peace with God for eternity. Christmas is about peace with God. Martin Luther struggled with the question that perhaps a lot of us struggle with. How do I please God? How do I get right with God? For those of you who know Luther, he went through extraordinary measures to grant himself the assurance that he was pleasing God. He joined the Augustinian monastery, and this was the pinnacle of his pursuits. He embraced the monastic living with a fervor unlike anyone had seen. He would remain in confession for hours, depriving himself almost to the point of death. He later confesses that these horribly aggressive years probably shortened his life. Luther wrote, "If there ever was a monk who could have earned his way to heaven through his monkery, I was surely it." But it was not until later, when Luther was sent to Rome because of his impressive performance as a monk, that his eyes were opened and his journey to his answer began. With the highest of pious expectations, Luther was shattered, angered, and disillusioned when he came to Rome to find out that the Catholic Church was a very human and broken institution of greed and corruption. It was through this experience and his refuting of Catholic practices that Luther finally found his answer to these questions in his pursuit of pleasing God. We all know at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we are justified before God by grace alone through faith, not by works or indulgences, but the receipt of God's gracious gift. If not for God's gracious disposition towards us, having mercy on us while we were still enemies, we would be condemned, we would be lost. But God is gracious. It is who He is. We have earned nothing except death because of our sin and rebellion. It is God's mercy and love extended towards us to pay the price for our sins that we can avoid judgment. Faith alone, by faith alone, we receive God's gifts of grace. By grace alone, salvation is made available to us. Luther was able to find his peace with God when he realized that it was God through his grace who provided a way of reconciliation. Martin Luther truly found his peace in God and peace with God. Let's go to John 14:27. What is the second way that we are made complete by God's peace? Let's read John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world cannot give true peace. Only the Prince of Peace can do that, Isaiah 9:6. He is the only source of true personal and social peace. The world fails. And why does the world fail? Because at the fundamental source of strife is our fallenness, our human nature. But Jesus made it possible by the work on the cross, by his work on the cross. Through him, through his work on the cross, man's relationship to God is restored. Christ can live in the hearts and lives of those who believe in him and have submitted to him. And through the indwelling of his Spirit, man can have true peace, even in the midst of conflicts and trials. That brings me to my second point. But if you're having trouble in this world and you can't find peace, Jesus can give you that peace. He can be your peace. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Jesus said this to his disciples just before he was going to be crucified, and they were fearful because he was leaving them. And this is Christ's encouragement to us. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." So if you're taking notes, the second point is that the second way that peace makes us complete is that through Christ, we can have peace within. Through his work on the cross, our relationship with him is restored. Our identity and value is now based on our relationship with him. Our standing with him is one of grace and not condemnation. And knowing that we are right with him, our settled confidence can bring us true peace. We are right with God, and therefore we can have peace within. Then, as we face life's challenges, trials, we can experience the supernatural peace of Christ. Just like the peace that he had when he was awaiting his impending crucifixion. And it's as it says in John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of Christ secures our composure and can dissolve our fears. So if you're having trouble today and you don't know where you can find peace, find your peace in Christ. He can give you a peace that passes all understanding. He can give you a peace that secures your composure. It gives you a peace that dissolves your fears. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I don't know if you've heard of him. He is a poet in the 1860s. To make a long story short, his life was not easy. His wife, Fanny, tragically died one day while her dress accidentally caught on fire. Suddenly awoken from his nap, he tried to extinguish the flames, first with a rug and then his own body, but she had already suffered severe burns. She died the next morning. And Henry Longfellow himself sustained facial burns so severe that he was not able to attend her funeral. He would later have to grow a beard just to hide his burned face. And at times he feared that he would be sent to an asylum because of his grief. And then 2 years later, his oldest son entered into the Civil War, and he too sustained an injury and was shot. It says, Charles was shot through the left shoulder with the bullet exiting under his right shoulder blade. It traveled across his back and skimmed his spine. Charlie avoided being paralyzed by less than an inch. But nonetheless, he had a long healing process. At this time, it was on Christmas Day, 1863, Longfellow, a 57-year-old widowed father of six children, with his oldest son nearly paralyzed. He wrote a poem. This poem is called, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. He heard the bells on Christmas Day and the singing of peace on earth, but he observed the world of injustice and violence that seemed to mock the truthfulness of this optimistic outlook. The theme of listening to peace on earth recurred in his mind, and he struggled to understand what that meant. But he wrote a poem to capture this dynamic of dissonance in his own heart and the world that he observed around him. I don't know how many of you have heard this, but towards the end, he writes a poem of all the things that he's seen around, and he keeps repeating in this poem, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's repeated five or six times, but at the end, in the last verse, it says, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. This is where Wadsworth found his peace with God and found his peace within. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, God, goodwill to men. And this song has been sung for Christmases since, that we can, in the midst of our troubles, we can find peace. I draw your attention to another person. Steve McQueen. I don't know if you know him or remember him. In the 70s, he was like the modern-day Solomon. He had all the coolest cars, the most beautiful women, worldwide fame, lots of money, and more. But he once said to his pastor, after he had become a Christian and found out that he had cancer, a few months later, Steve McQueen said this, "My only regret is that I was not able to tell more people about what Christ has done for me. I wanted to right that wrong." Like the King Solomon of old, he had massive wealth, fame, but he came to a realization that it was all emptiness, like chasing the wind. Steve's faith gave him the strength to face the greatest challenge of his life, cancer. He sought to share his faith with other cancer patients who were in the clinic with him while receiving treatment. Steve wanted to live. He wanted to share his story of what Christ had done. Here was the King of Cool. Now he had met the King of Kings, and his life was changed. It says here in his biography, it brought him great peace. He was such a moody and temperamental person who caused chaos on film sets, demanded certain perks, upstaged other actors, drove producers and directors crazy. He suddenly mellowed. And if you read about him, his life, his younger life, was very tumultuous. His mother married three times. She was an alcoholic. He had fathers who abused him, stepfathers who abused him. If we look at Steve's life, there's a lesson. He had everything that life had to offer, and yet he was still empty inside. He drove fast cars and motorcycles. He dated and married beautiful women. He had stylish clothes, a huge mansion, and he was idolized by millions. He was in the 70s, he was the highest paid actor in Hollywood, and still it wasn't enough. It was only when he made a decision for Christ that he found true peace in his life. Jesus can give us true peace. Let's go to my third point. Ephesians 2:14. This is the third way I believe that our lives, we can be made complete, made whole through God's peace. It says in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." In describing the early church, Paul did not dissolve any ethnic distinctions, but he displayed reconciliation with every believer equally qualified to share in the benefits of salvation and peace. In this context, the Jews and the Gentiles were called to be united in one, into a new living community. They were all to be one in privilege and position toward God. Jesus was a source of restored relationships, not only between an individual and God, but also between individuals. Together, they were to form a new community, the household of God. Christ's death resulted in peace between Jewish believers and Gentile believers, and peace between Gentile believers and God. The peace of God allows us to make peace with others, and that's my third point. Through God's peace, we can have peace with others. Just like right now, as we sit here today, people from all nations, from different languages, different cultures, different ethnicities, we can be at peace with each other because of Christ. So there is neither, nor in Galatians 3:28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." 1 John 4:19 reminds us, we love him because he first loved us. Luke 10:27 tells us to love God and to love others. So when we have peace with others, we can extend love to others because God has extended his love to us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." The peace of Christ allows us to be at peace with all those around us. We can restore our relationship with others because Christ has restored his relationship with us. This is the peace that God gives us. It allows us to be at peace with others, to be at peace with our coworkers, to be at peace with our teammates, to be at peace with our neighbors, to be at peace with people from other countries, to be at peace with maybe our family members. This is one of the most inspiring stories of peace that I think, that I can think of through Christ. This happened in World War II. It was December of 1944. The Germans had initiated a massive campaign against the Allies in the Ardennes Forest in Belgium. Over 250,000 German troops mounted a blitzkrieg, attempting to divide the Allies in a major offensive. This set the stage for the Battle of the Bulge. Unexpectedly, heavy storms erupted, forever changing the course of this infamous battle and possibly World War II. Along with the individual lives of millions of people during that time, this is a story of nine individuals one Christmas Eve. Her name was Elisabeth Vinken, and her 12-year-old son, Fritz. She was a German mother who lived in the woods at that time. Let me get back to the story. So there were soldiers fighting in trenches on the plains and in the mountains. With the snowstorm coming in, supplies were short. There was no ammunition, no food, no medical help, no shelter, no jackets, no gloves, wet socks, and wet worn-out boots. No heat and separation from their platoons. Soldiers were using newspapers and curtains from wreckage of houses and cabins that were bombed to wrap their feet. It was in this Ardennes Forest that three American soldiers were wandering. One had been shot up in the upper leg and was bleeding to death. So his two fellow American soldiers, tried to get him behind enemy lines. Additionally, they were starving and freezing. The snow was deep, and snowstorms were coming. Disorientation set in. They wandered aimlessly in the Ardennes Forest for 3 days. But in the distance, they saw a cabin and approached it. When they got close to it, they lay their wounded soldier on the ground, and they knocked on the door. Now, let me go back. Elizabeth and her 12-year-old son, Fritz, are living in this cabin because normally they would be living in the city, but their house in the city was bombed. And so their husband sent them into the woods thinking that they would be safe there, and he would stay behind to repair their home in the city. So one of the soldiers knocked on the cabin door, and Elizabeth opened her door. There stood two American soldiers with weapons and a third lying in the snow. She did not know any English, nor did the Americans know German. But one of them spoke French, and as did Mrs. Vinken. So in broken French and with some sign language, they explained that they were lost, hungry, and close to death, and that the soldier laying on the ground was shot and bleeding to death. The American soldiers asked for any assistance in terms of shelter and food for the night so that they could start in the morning to find the American lines. At that time, there was a law in Germany forbidding any German citizens from harboring any enemy soldiers. Mrs. Vinken could be shot for assisting these Americans. But it was, what night was it? It was Christmas Eve. Mrs. Vinken was a Lutheran, so she let them in. Had she turned them away, they probably would not have survived. Or perhaps they would have forced their way in. Mrs. Vinken was not a sympathizer of the Allied forces, but she was a Christian, and she would have assisted anyone needing humanitarian help. So Mrs. Vinken sent Fritz to get 6 more potatoes from the shed outside and to bring in their chicken, their rooster. She was going to prepare a Christmas Eve supper for the American soldiers. So she went to work in the kitchen preparing supper. And then shortly thereafter, there came a knock on the door. She assumed it was more American soldiers. And she opened the door, and her face turned white. There stood four German soldiers with weapons in their hands. Mrs. Vinken greeted them. They had lost their way in the forest, too. Separated from their unit, they had no food nor warmth for the days ahead. They were hungry and feared they might die in the sub-freezing weather, with no help in sight. Mrs. Vinken stepped outside and shut the door to speak to the German soldiers privately. She said, "There are three American soldiers in there. One is severely wounded and bleeding to death. It is a holy night tonight, and there will be no shooting here." She told them they could eat as much as they wished, and she then asked them to give her their weapons. They agreed. She had leaned their weapons out against the cabin outside. She then went inside and shut the door and informed the American soldiers that they had guests, but that they would not be harmed. She explained that there were German soldiers who likewise needed help and that they will come inside for supper and stay the night. She then asked for their weapons, and they agreed. She took the American soldiers' weapons outside and leaned them against the cabin with the German soldiers' weapons. Then she invited the German soldiers to come inside. So there they were. Can you imagine the picture? The German soldiers were on one side of the living room and the American soldiers on the other, facing the opposing side with Mrs. Vinken preparing a Christmas Eve supper. The silence was deafening. And then suddenly out of the silence emerged the voices of the German soldiers singing the German hymn, Silent Night, in Latin. Silent Night was renowned in both German and Latin. The Lutheran denomination in those days held Mass in Latin. So German Lutherans often sang in Latin. Then their American brothers in Christ joined in English. Tears came down the faces of the Germans and the Americans. As they sang Silent Night. The soldiers brought out their supplies of a flask of wine and a loaf of bread. They shared the wine and bread with the American soldiers. With tears streaming down their faces, they had communion. Then one of the soldiers began speaking in perfect English to the American soldiers and said he was a medical student. He offered to operate on the wounded American. For several hours, this German soldier operated with no anesthesia. It was such a meticulous and intense operation that his forehead was perspiring. Finally, he got the bullet out and bandaged up the wounded soldier. He said that the cold weather prevented infection from spreading. Mrs. Vinken finished preparing the Christmas Eve supper, and she invited them to the table and prayed, "Come, Herr Jesus, and be our guest." And they had Christian fellowship and peace that holy night. According to Fritz, in an interview years later, and Fritz eventually he made it to the United States and lived there. And because of an interview of one of these soldiers, or he was on a show that his story was made public, he was finally able to locate at least two of these soldiers that he saved. In an interview years later, he said, "There were tears in her eyes as I looked around the table, and I saw that the battle-weary soldiers were filled with emotion." The next morning, Mrs. Vinken gave them back their weapons, and she would pray for their safety. The German corporal showed the Americans on their map how to get back behind the enemy, the American lines, and gave them his compass. The soldiers and the American soldiers all shook hands and went in opposite directions. Fritz later recounted that his mother said she asked them to be very careful and told them, "I hope someday you will return home safely to where you belong.
May God bless and watch over you. This is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the power of the cross that brings peace through Christ. All right, so the big question, I should show you the pictures. This is Fritz and Sergeant Ralph Blank, years later in the United States. Ralph Blank is the one who was shot, and his life was saved that night, not only by Mrs. Vinken, but by his enemies. This is the peace of Christ. All right, my favorite question, so what? So what does this all mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to us? How are we going to be different when we walk out this morning? Ephesians 4:1-3 says this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To walk worthy of Christ would then to behave in a united way, living in unity as it was in that context, living in unity with Jewish brethren, if one was a Gentile, and vice versa. Christians must preserve the unity between believers that God has established in the church. We are to keep peace. This is what keeps us together. Peace is what keeps all diverse groups together in a church, the most basic at that time for the Jews and the Gentiles. This is the message of peace from the Christmas story. So, application time, we need to be people of peace. Knowing what you know about peace today, or maybe you've had a new insight of what peace means, be a messenger of peace this Christmas. Maybe when you go out and share the Christmas story, tell them what it really means. What is peace on earth? Tell them that Christmas is about finding peace, true peace with God, and true peace with others. Make that your message this Christmas. And if you're having trouble finding peace within your own self, memorize John 14:27. Memorize it so well that whenever you have difficult times, you can recite it. When you're in pain, maybe you're suffering from depression. Remember, true peace comes from Him. Our hearts will not be troubled, and our hearts will not be afraid. And perhaps a third thing is, if you know of someone that you need to reconcile with today, make peace with that person. Restore that relationship today. And as with our theme of the year, shine your light. Be at peace with others, even your enemies. Got peace? What should your answer be? Yes. And if you look at this, maybe you will read it first with the no God and no peace. And that is true. When there is no God, there's no peace. But when you K-N-O-W God, no God, you will know peace. So this Christmas, no God, no peace. Shalom. So say to each other, person next to you, shalom. All right, yeah, because I said it, you did it, but okay, say it sincerely now. Peace be with you, brother or sister, right? All right, let me pray. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your message of peace. It is the only peace that will truly satisfy and bring us back into a relationship with you.
is the only peace that will give us the peace that we desire inside of us, that will cure us from our troubles or calm our hearts. It will be the only peace that can help us in a world of turmoil and suffering and pain, violence. And Lord, as we look at this world, it is the only peace that will help us to restore or reconcile with people that we are not on good terms with. So Lord, I pray that your peace will be real to us today. Help us to enjoy the peace we have with you, to truly understand what it means. And help us to be able to experience that in such a real way. We are excited, eager to share that with others. So much so that we are also eager to restore, make amends our relationship with others. So Lord, we thank you for your message today. May we go our way in shalom, in peace. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.